Hello, friends, and welcome back to our weekly W3C Verifiable Credentials for Education Task Force meeting. Today is June 12th, and we're about to have our weekly chat. My name is Simone, and I'll be the facilitator today. I'm one of the co-chairs together with Carrie Lemoy and Dimitri Zagidulian. Let's take care of a couple of housekeeping items before we jump into today's main topic. IP note. Yes, Carrie?
I do not see transcripts happening.
Let's see if they work when you speak. Okay.
I can speak again.
Hold on.
There it is.
All right. Yes, so we have a full house now with our friends, the transcriber. All right, great. So let's go back to IP notes. As most of you know, these calls are open, so anyone can participate. However, if you are planning to make any substantial contributions to any of the Credentials Community Group work items, you must be a member of the Credentials Community Group and have full intellectual property rights agreement signed. It's very easy to do. To get an account, you can go on the web. You will have received links to do that in the agenda that we circulated on Friday. And you could also take a look at the contributor license agreement from there. Moving on to call notes. We are recording these meetings, audio, and we'll also have our friend, the transcriber here, provide the minutes. So be aware of that. In order to keep things organized, we have a queuing system. If you want to speak, type Q plus in the chat, and if you want to specify what you want to talk about, you could do that. Otherwise, you can just raise your hand through the button on the Jitsi interface. Moving on to introductions and reintroductions. Let's see if we have any new friends joining the call today, or equally, anyone that feels like they want to reintroduce themselves. Anyone?
Simone, I queued myself up. I'm honestly, this is Carrie Lemoy, folks. I'm just queuing myself up to see if the transcriber is still working.
Okay. I do not
see it work. Oh, there. So it is working for me. But, okay.
Yeah, thanks for checking, Carrie. It doesn't work. It doesn't like me, obviously. I should tune in my voice.
But this happens. It's your voice. Yeah. I'm not sure what it is, but
it must be the accent. all right. Well, I mean, at least it seems to be working for other people. It's a good thing that I'm not going to do a lot of the talking today. Great. Okay. So in case anyone, you know, wants to quickly introduce themselves, they can do so later if they feel like they want to jump in the conversation, so no problem. And we have announcements and reminders. So anyone that has anything that they want to remind this community, these are events, projects, things happening, this is the time to do it. Carrie, go ahead.
Okay, this is a real announcement. Not just a test one. We're going to be starting a special topic group at VCEDU, and I would like to invite all of you to join this discussion. It has to do with enrollment status. We do have a use case at VCEDU for enrollment. I'll link to it right here. I think this use case could actually be updated for enrollment, not just to be current enrollment, but unenrolled or, you know, graduated. But there's a lot of like use cases, it seems, in the consumption of credentials where employers just want to know if somebody is enrolled. And also there are use cases where students who are enrolled, whether high school or, you know, secondary or even some other program outside of the formal stuff, could use that for you know, other reasons, right? Off the top of my head, I'm thinking about students who are enrolled may get discounts while they're enrolled in school. It's a pretty common one. But it's turning out that this is like globally something that is necessary and may not be too difficult for us to start with like sort of an easy data model for it and discuss ways that this could be implemented in a simple way, where these could be issued in a simple way. So what I've done is I've created a form, an interest form. Let me put a link to it in the chat for you all. Right here. This link right there is the link to just a Google form, just for contact info. And then I will reach out and we can figure out a time to meet to have this first discussion and take it from there. We can talk about, you know, how to rely on existing standards. Do we need to come up with something new? You know, just to have these discussions and talk about, all of the use cases that we can think of. So, I welcome you to join us. Hopefully this is something that moves pretty quickly and, we could maybe move through it this summer and start trying these out in the fall. Does anybody have any questions about this?
Okay. Thank you very much, Carrie. Sure. Maybe just a couple of reminders from my side. First off, PlugFest 3 is kicked off, ladies and gentlemen. So that's going to be an interesting journey from now until October at IIW, when we're planning to have demo day. You know, we'll keep tabs on that development. Great to know that so many of you are involved. In second reminder, in Europe, this year is the year of skills. And last week, the European Commission organized an event called Making Skills Count, where they invited a panel on digital credentials. One of the main announcement made there was the release of the European Learning Model in JSON format. That has been in the works for a while. So it's an opportunity to really do a bit more sense-making in credentialing. And particularly one of the call-out made by the managing director of the World Economic Forum was specifically the need to have mapping tools between the different taxonomies or frameworks, which is a good call. We are definitely focusing more on the semantic layer here, with great work being done in the U.S. By Credential Engine, for example. So that's a good signal. Again, reminder, this year is the year of skills, in Europe at least. Okay, so if there are no other announcements or reminders, let's move on to our main topic. All right, this is one that I've been particularly very excited to host. We have Nader Helmi from Matter here that is going to share with us a bit of the developments around the MyCreds national network in Canada. Particularly, this is about consideration for interoperability in issuing verifiable credentials, educational verifiable credentials. So, without further ado, I would like to invite Nader to open up your mic and take it away. Thank you. Welcome, Nader.
Thank you, Simone. Can everyone hear me okay?
Loud and clear, sir.
Perfect. Thank you very much for the invite. As Simone said, I'm Nader Helmi. I'm from a company called Matter. And I'm just going to share my screen here. Let me know when you can see it.
Go ahead.
Perfect. So I'm from a company called Matter, which is based in New Zealand. I'm a product strategist there. But today I'm going to be talking, as Simone said, about the MyCreds national network in Canada. Specifically, what is the approach that we took when it came to kind of designing an interoperable education solution, what we've learned along the way, and then sort of what kind of some insights and potential next steps might be. I'm very curious to get the feedback from the people in this working group around all of that and really want to engage with the broader community around what we've done with MyCreds. So starting off, like, what is MyCreds to begin with? MyCreds is a national shared service and platform in Canada that offers essentially a what's called a learner credential wallet that gives students and learners access to their academic records. Now, MyCreds kind of precedes the idea of verifiable credentials and the kind of work that's happened lately. So there's a new initiative within MyCreds called the Virtual Skills Passport, or the VSP, as you might see it referred to for short, which is essentially kind of more of a decentralized identity solution with a digital wallet that allows people to kind of, you know, own their data around their academic records and present it to relying parties in an indirect way, kind of the typical issuer, verifier, holder model that we're probably familiar with in this group. So that's what we did with the Virtual Skills Passport, we being on the bottom there, you'll see Digitary by Parchment as well as Matter. So we'll kind of talk a little bit about how we collaborated to bring that to life. The other major stakeholder on this project is ARUC, which is the Association of Registrars and Universities and Colleges in Canada. And this is really, you know, a broad organization across Canada that works to advance the educational goals of the Canadian kind of citizenry more broadly. And MyCreds, like I said, is the project that kind of where all this has culminated and where we're piloting the use of digital credentials in a kind of new way that sort of complements the existing system in many ways. So it's kind of a hybrid solution. So kind of the next few slides will explain a bit of, around what that actually means. So the way that we're involved, as I mentioned, so Matter products provide what we call building blocks for verifiable data and digital trust ecosystems. So this covers the typical kind of issue, verify, hold, trust triangle that I mentioned before, as well as the other layer of what we call ecosystem operations, which are necessary to create secure and trusted interactions, right? So any ecosystem needs to communicate things like what are the common schemas that are being used, that are being trusted, how are issuers and verifiers and other stakeholders kind of vetted or certified, you know, what are the expectations and rules, and even down to like very basic things like kind of what standards do we agree to use, all the way up to kind of business logic and specific rules around things like revocation and backup and recovery and that sort of a thing. So it's a big kind of interconnected web of choices, right, that needs to be made in order to bring a verifiable credential or a digital credential ecosystem to life. And I guess part of that process, part of facilitating trust in an ecosystem is, as I mentioned, the process of developing open standards, especially around what is the data that's being represented and how is it being conveyed and then how is it understood. So these are kind of very basic things, but they're turns out very hard to get right in an area like education, which is so diverse, right, and fragmented in many ways in terms of like the global approach to managing data. There's a really wide range there. You know, we're, you know, excited about what we've built with MyCreds. We think it has, you know, some advantages to like physical documents, but again, complements that approach, offers a cryptographically secure kind of digitally native way to convey this information that's easy to share and convenient, and we think provides like a good value proposition alongside the way that learners engage with their academic records today. So Digitary and Matter are both the technology partners on this MyCreds VSP, providing the platform and capabilities for MyCreds digital credentials.
And Nader, just making sure that, are you advancing slides or are you seeing the
first one? I am. Oh, is it not showing up for you guys?
Yeah, we're still seeing just the first. Maybe if you went full screen, we're still seeing, you know, you in, now they moved, so you're good now.
Okay, but you can see the whole
power. Yeah, that that's fine.
All right. Yeah, not ideal, but that's okay. So this is what I was, the slide that I was talking about for the last, few minutes or so. And this was just the first one that I flipped from. So MyCreds, Rook, Digitary Matter, Virtual Skills Passport, and then, the kind of a solution that we've built here. So, how do our credentials work on a very high level? Essentially Digitary, offers a platform where academic credentials are issued by institutions into a digitally signed, like they're issued as digitally signed PDFs into a student's account, which is the MyCreds platform. So they'll log into the MyCreds platform and they'll be able to view and interact with and share these digitally signed PDFs. Now what kind of Matter, has built as an integration essentially is that when students log into their MyCreds account, there'll be an option for them to download the credential to their digital wallet. So this is a separate thing that appears in their account. And the student, if they consent and opt in, then they download the Matter wallet, and then the VC is created and issued to their wallet, which they can subsequently use. So it's the system where technically, for those users who, for whatever reason, maybe they don't have a smartphone, or maybe they don't have access to that, that infrastructure, or potentially for a myriad of other reasons, they don't want to or are unable to use the verifiable credential option. Then they just kind of use the MyCreds platform as it exists today with those digitally signed PDFs. But if they opt in, then they kind of get the benefits of this additional verifiable credential journey, which enables them to do things like, port that data across contexts and share it on the web in a really easy and kind of convenient fashion, which is slightly more challenging with the existing system. So I won't play it right this minute. Maybe we can go back at the end if so, if we have time, or we'll send this deck out as well. But there's a whole video that kind of shows what the MyCreds learner journey is, kind of end to end, and explains essentially what I just described, but in much more vivid detail with the actual UI UX that a learner would see throughout that process.
And Nader, let me see if Carrie has a question that she wants to ask right now, because she's on the queue. Carrie?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, thanks, Tony. Hi, Nader.
Hi.
One question I have while we're here is about the digital signing by Digitary. Maybe Simone can answer this too. How are the keys managed? Does Digitary sign on behalf of the participating institutions, or are you managing all of their keys separately? Like, how are you doing that in the system?
Simone, do you want to take this one away?
Well, my part is easy. So the Digitary part of the process issues digitally signed PDFs. So these are digital signatures to the PDF. But what your question, Carrie, I think is more about the key pairs, which are really handled in the downstream process when that PDF, the data of that PDF, is wrapped in a VC. So maybe Nader, you can comment on that one.
So from the verifiable credential perspective, we offer basically the Matter 7 platform is like a SaaS platform, a multi-tenanted SaaS platform. So essentially that's what we expose to Digitary. And so each institution, each issuer has a separate tenant with a separate DID and a DID document and kind of like their own identity in the system, right? So that is essentially how we do it. But again, that would be kind of separate from, I think the question, I think, Carrie, is sort of for the digitally signed PDFs portion, how are the keys managed? And I believe the way that they're managed is that, like, essentially, Digitary would kind of sign on behalf of institutions, but in a very similar way where they all have kind of separate public keys and are identifiable within the ecosystem. I could be wrong on that, but Simone, does that seem to resonate?
Yeah, it is a very sort of a traditional, in a sense, a process where there is a certification authority that gets contracted, and so it's the good old PDF signature yeah. process, you know, which is still standing at the early on, you know, upstream in the process.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, I don't want to hold this up. I was actually just thinking about how Matter does it. It sounds like you're just managing the tenants. Each tenant for the issuer contains all of the key information for them. And you're just handling that at Matter.
So, yeah, so essentially, when an API is called, so like when they're in the MyCreds platform and they choose to opt into this, you know, this download the credential to your digital wallet option, it'll essentially call our API, right? And our API will return the credentials signed by the issuer's tenant. So whatever college or university is like responsible for that learner's record. And then essentially, you know, using that system, the credential gets issued. So that the key management happens on the Matter platform as well.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. So I guess I wanted to explain a little bit around so why we think standards are important and kind of what the approach is behind that. I think, you know, it may be familiar to some of the folks in this room, but I think fundamentally we believe that building on top of open standards is the way to kind of meet people where they are and foster transparency, both transparency and open participation in an ecosystem. So, as I mentioned earlier, this means kind of defining, you know, a whole bunch of common, you know, standards and rules. Amongst those are things like how data is actually represented, how it's secured, and then how users can authenticate with that data and more. So what we were really looking for with MyCreds, specifically the MyCreds Virtual Skills Passport, was a way to have like a digitally native education record that could be defined and modeled using open data vocabularies. So that was a big kind of design goal, right? Partially because I think fundamentally that process of what these digital education records look like is collaborative and is multi-stakeholder. So like having that need to build something with an open data vocabulary was the big design goal, as mentioned. So ultimately the virtual skills passport was built to support W3C verifiable credentials with the schema being represented using JSON-LD. So again, kind of separate from the proof format layer, but at the very least with the schema layer, that it was a JSON-LD credential. And we've kind of linked off to the GitHub where you can find the broader documentation here. But specifically getting into what the credentials are and how they show up, we defined a JSON-LD vocab for a type of VC, which is known in the MyCreds ecosystem as a micro-credential. I put that in quotes because and we'll get into this in the next couple slides, but there you know, is a really wide range of things in the broader global education space that get referred to as a micro-credential, and that is the case with a lot of these different terms in the education space. So alternative credentials, digital credentials, learner wallets, things like that. They all get used in the education space, but oftentimes to refer to a really broad range of actual kind of technologies and implementations. So, and we'll get into that in a minute in terms of how we specifically, you know, want to tackle that problem. But essentially it is a micro-credential in the MyCreds network. And what this vocabulary is really based on, it's a JSON-LD vocab, but it's based on a translation of these PESC, which is the post, secondary education, kind of standards body, their XML standards for college transcripts and academic credentials. So we've linked to them here, but these are existing credentials that in North America are widely used to a very large extent. And so there was, I think, a very practical, this is just driven from a very practical need to to kind of design something on the digital credential side that would actually be used and would immediately be useful to all these institutions who had already adopted these existing PESC XML standards. So we wanted to bring them along on the journey and design this kind of next gen experience. And this was our attempt to do that. So we defined a vocabulary, which is open source, and you can find it here, as well as linked to in this GitHub repo as well. So this is a public vocab, but really I don't think it's been probably shared too widely outside of the MyCreds ecosystem and some kind of education conferences and things like that. So we really wanted to bring it to, we wanted to bring it to, frankly, to the crowd of people who are, already working on verifiable credentials for education and are invested and care about this space. Not that those other areas of engagement with other kinds of stakeholders aren't great, but we think that this would be the place to actually progress these ideas kind of in a slightly more efficient fashion and also to iterate quickly. We believe that there is part of this approach that we've taken led us to really taking a really broad look at what was out there and engaging with, the landscape of education credentials and trying to create a map of sort of what is happening and who's using what and like what the different layers are. And we've come away with a very sort of complex picture, but one that we're hoping today, we can sort of challenge and cut through the noise a little bit around, what might be a good balance between these different trade-offs. This is essentially what we've built. And you can find the links here. I guess kind of getting into that idea of what the challenges are, we've divided them into like five categories here. So we just wanted to talk about each of them for a moment and like why they make the, converging on a comic academic record or digital credential, why they make that so difficult, right? So I think there's like a lot of complexity here, but from the very start, there is a lot of kind of divergence around what the data in a credential is even meant to be modeling in the first place. So is it simple? Is it complex? Is it sort of atomic or more dynamically updated? And then like, what actually is the credential? So is it a course? Is it a skill? Is it a transcript? Is it a diploma? Is it something else? So that's kind of maybe the obvious one, but a very big one where there is no clear consensus. Looking at the global kind of education space around what the data is meant to be modeling in the first place. There's also kind of, challenges around what the underlying technology being used for the data representation side, right? So like, how does the data actually show up? Is it machine readable? And like, what can consume it? For everything from XML to JSON to VCs and more. There's also like, and this kind of gets to the trust architecture discussion a bit, and there's no real consensus around where the data lives and how it's managed. So, what is the actual architecture? Is it something that is user-centric, where they have control and autonomy to maybe share and exercise their data sharing rights independently of an institution, or is it institution-centric, where potentially all of that data sharing lives on an institution's platform or is managed and facilitated by them, right? So you have a whole range of things in here, everything from paper documents to web portals to central databases to digital wallets to, decentralized data stores and like everything in between. So that's, pretty broad range of things we're actually talking about there. There's kind of what standards are being conformed to and at which layer, right? So we have all these different standards in the education space that are intended for kind of, in many cases, overlapping, but also distinct kinds of data. So everything from CLRs to open badges, VCs, PESC standards, HR open standards, Europass, learning model, and kind of a whole bunch of stuff in between. So I think that is a key kind of clear pressing need, which is that, you know, there is, you know, we've seen in recent years the that, you know, obviously this is nothing terribly new to some of the folks in this group, and we've seen progress, right? Like with things like CLRs and open badges, with CLR V2, open badge V3, kind of adopting a more VC-like approach, or at least attempting to try to converge with that approach a bit, and creating provisions within those standards to be able to be used as VCs. But there's still clearly a gap, right? And there's still a gap in terms of the, like, connecting the overarching efforts of these different groups in a coherent way. They still kind of, till now, remain, largely speaking, kind of generalizing a bit, like, as independent parallel tracks, right? So that is a challenge. And then kind of finally, there are also, you know, a whole raft of other kinds of challenges, but in terms of these main ones, whether or not there is a digital security layer, right? And how the data is secured, if so. So, you know, a whole wide range here about, you know, is the data tamper evident at all? Is there a content integrity layer? Is there origin authenticity? Is there both of those things? So, you know, everything from digital signatures, you know, QR codes and CBOR based, credential representations like linked data proofs, JOTS, the selective disclosure, JWTs. There's a whole kind of raft of competing things in this area. And so that's another challenge. And looking at these challenges, we didn't think we could address all of them, to be frank, but we thought we could partially try to address some of them. Primarily, like, let's get some common, like, the idea of what the data is meant to be modeling in the first place. I think on the sort of spectrum of simple to complex, I think one of the key insights that, we've had, from working in this education space is the idea that there are so many stakeholders in education, and there's such wildly different ecosystems and institutions in that kind of global landscape. And they're all driven by very valid and, like, practical concerns, right? So at the very simplest level, like, there's differences in, you know, different jurisdictions and how they approach these problems. But even kind of beyond that, there's so much going on in terms of, like, education's connection to, you know, the global economy and, like, what that enables. And because of that, there's just such a wide range of stuff out there. But I think the insight in that is that trying to standardize or create a standard around something that's really complex is probably not the best way to go in the education space, because the more complexity that this object has, the harder it becomes for different institutions and stakeholders to buy in and adopt that thing. And then you're also trying, at the same time, the more complex it gets, you're trying to cater this digital document or this digital credential to be kind of everything to everyone, right? And that doesn't really scale. And that's, I think, why it's so challenging to get a bunch of education stakeholders in a room and agree, like, that, you know, that this is what we should be issuing and this is what we should be exchanging, and using, as something with meaning in our ecosystems. So, again, kind of presenting this humbly from appreciate that definitely it is an outsider perspective, because we're fundamentally a technology company, right? We're not, like, Matter is a technology company, and Digitary, as well, but were not kind of wedded specifically to the education space, but after kind of engaging and being in the space for a while now and really kind of taking a look at the landscape, that is, you know, one of the things that emerged for us was the idea of simplicity over complexity. And what if we could all agree on something very simple and very like basic that could then be, connected and sort of, accumulated in different ways, depending on a different, stakeholders' needs, right? So like something simple that can be then built into something more complex as needed, but fundamentally the thing that, should be the target sort of for interoperability, it seems like is something that is very basic and simple, right? Something atomic and that can be exchanged and understood with, without a lot of overhead, right? So that is the kind of basic, proposition there. The next one is kind of, you know, what is the technology for data representation? I think we've seen, a lot of promise in, and JSON LD as a semantic kind of vocabulary layer, and verifiable credentials clearly as the envelope kind of make a lot of sense as well. So I think just kind of drawing some lines in the sand there and saying, hey, here's the approach that we're using kind of as a default. And we think that one isn't terribly controversial, depending on sort of who you are, but we're hoping in this group that's hopefully not too controversial. And then finally, trying to, again, not fully solve these problems, but at least partially tackle this idea of the standards conformity and like cutting through the noise of all these standards that exist and trying to build something that we think leverages the best of what's out there. So any questions at this stage? Because we're going to talk a bit about what this all means or what we think kind of we should do about this stuff.
There are no questions so far, Nader, but maybe you want to take like maybe 5 minutes and then we want to leave some time for Q&A.
Okay, perfect. Right. Yeah.
Actually, a question from Carrie, who just dropped in. Carrie, go ahead.
Actually, I'll wait till the Q&A. Why don't you finish up, Nader, and we can all discuss. Thank you.
Yeah. Awesome. What does this mean? What do we do about this? We think with a few simple and concise goals that there's an opportunity here to cut through some of the noise and develop something, which is simple and collaboratively constructed and kind of builds on the best practices, for standards conformance that are out there today. Sort of in order of kind of their importance to the approach is, the first is kind of leveraging the PASC XML standards, which are already widely in use today as inspiration for the semantics and utility of the credential. So according to the National Student Clearinghouse, there were over 14 million PASC college transcripts issued over the last 5 years, which is huge. It's some significant adoption, right? I think obviously the caveat here is that this is largely in North America, but there's a real kind of adoption and utility around this stuff. And essentially what we did with the micro-credentials vocab, which is, again, open source, was essentially leverage these PEX XML standards to create what we think is a pretty simple vocab. If you go in there, you'll see, like, it is not terribly complex, right? But it was kind of and it's a kind of a flat structure as well. It's not like a lot of times you'll see in the specifically with JSON LD vocabs in this space, like a lot of really complex uses of JSON LD and nesting and different types and kind of like potentially like potentially over-engineered a bit, right? Like is what you're seeing in a lot of these places. And we've tried to build something which we think is, you know, doesn't try to boil the ocean, but is kind of simple, right? And it's like the simplest possible representation of what these standards are that are in use today. The second pillar of this is building on top of the micro-credentials guidance that is being provided currently by legislators, lawmakers, and experts around the world around what data elements should be included in a micro-credential. I think the subtext for this, for those who aren't fully aware, is that micro-credentials are like a hot topic, right, in the education space, kind of separate from VCs and digital credentials and that whole thing. Like, micro-credentials are something that our institutions are already invested in for various reasons, including financial. But also it is kind of a wave in education around this idea of kind of single assertion credentials, right? And there's nothing about, I mean, there are a lot of implementations of micro-credentials that are not what someone would call decentralized or self-sovereign, right? If you know what I mean, like, a lot of them are kind of hosted and managed by institutions. But at the same time, there is this push, right? Like, around what a micro-credential is, and institutions and experts and lawmakers trying to, like, figure out what the simplest, possible representation would be for what they're looking for. And so there's a lot of guidance out there that we can draw on. And this is, I think, an area that Digitary by Parchment has a lot of, like, expertise and a background in. So kind of leveraging that guidance. And then finally is sort of synthesizing together these different JSON-LD vocabs that are being built by the community. So we can all hopefully kind of come together and model a simple micro-credential. And the whole concept of a micro-credential, like I mentioned earlier, is that it's a single assertion credential. And I think one of the big wins that we could potentially do very early on is to essentially try to make that vocab that we're working on converge with or contain the simplest elements of an open badge V3. The reason for this is because both micro-credentials and OBV3 are intended to be single assertion credentials. Now, the way they go about doing that is quite different. I think that the headline is that micro-credentials, the way that we've implemented them and my creds are like actually very simple, and OBV3 is still a bit more structured and complex, but we're hoping that we can sort of draw out the simplest elements from an OBV3 and have that show up in a JSON-LD vocab, as well as, like we mentioned before, bring together, you know, different groups of people in the community that are already working on JSON-LD vocabs, and let's try to build something simple together. And we're hoping, and we think that accomplishing the above will help create what we call sort of an MVP for interoperability, right, in the education space. So this sort of minimum viable thing that we can all work on to potentially, and you'll notice with each of these things, you're bringing a different camp of people to the table, right? And in this one versus the sort of stakeholders you're bringing along board for this one versus this one. But I think all three really critical kind of sets of stakeholders, and potentially could be very powerful, kind of some greater than its parts sort of situation. Practically speaking, what does this mean? I think, you know, what we want to do essentially is contribute the work that we've done on our JSON-LD vocab around micro-credentials to the VCEDU. So it's already open source, but just kind of symbolically kind of bringing it to the table via this presentation and kind of follow-up with these links, and essentially contribute this work as a starting kind of point, or one of the inputs rather, for this proposed vocab, and essentially gather support, as we mentioned, for a common JSON-LD vocab that represents the best of what's out there in the space today and kind of follows the three goals outlined in the previous slide, and then bring this new verifiable credential and make it an interop target for JFF PlugFest 3, because I think that would be a real opportunity to kind of come together and show the work that we've done on this and demonstrate like how useful this idea can be potentially. And again, this is all motivated by, like, if you notice, like, we're not tackling things like the data management and the digital security layer. These are complex problems for other people to solve. We think the thing that would really help education as a space really adopt credentials is trying to solve these problems in a kind of simple fashion. So a simple but practical micro-credential that will be standards-based and a verifiable credential. This is, you know, hopefully a single kind of single assertion, common atomic unit of data that can be combined and constructed in different ways, but fundamentally is a simple thing that can be shared and expressed and understood. So that essentially is the idea behind what we're doing. We're very keen to understand how this lands with all of you and you know, what kinds of problems you care about and are thinking about, if you think these are an appropriate set of trade-offs, and if you think this work kind of is viable to continue into the future. So
thank you very much. Thank you, Nader. Thank you for sharing. I'll just go straight to Carrie with her outstanding question.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So I have a lot of thoughts about this, Nader. First, I think it's really interesting that you guys have done this work, and I understand the desire to try and simplify this. In fact, this is why we originally proposed open badges being aligned with VC, because we thought that was going to be the first one of the standards that would be the most simplest.
Yeah.
But what you may have noticed by working with PESC and other standards bodies is complexities often come from the business side of these organizations, right?
Yeah.
And unfortunately, this is something we've had to deal with. In fact, the European learning model sort of branched out of that work too, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like the more you tried to, the work we've been doing at VCEDU, so I'm just going to put the charter in here just so you understand where we are as
yeah.
a group, is we've been doing the work that you're describing,
yeah.
is trying to do this. And honestly, what it has been a way to approach this is to be grateful for the existence of JSON-LD and the separate vocabularies.
Mm-hmm.
So that all of these models coexist, but yet can be understood, like perhaps like with a translation model in between all of them.
Yeah.
So that's one approach that I mean, we've been suggesting here. So just so you know, that's what we've been talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing is, we're not, so VCEDU isn't a standards body. We're just a task force.
Yeah.
We don't have any standards. We just sort of make recommendations as to what the standards bodies can do.
Yeah.
So I think it is real, trust me, I think it was very interesting to come up with the most simplest way to express an achievement. I think the world needs that. But I think one thing to think about is, where are you going to do that? Right. And how is this going to be managed as a standard? Will it be done at PESC, which, you know, would be great, but will it be open communities? How will decisions be made? What's the governance?
Yeah.
So there's like those complexities that I know you're thinking of because you're
totally.
Like, it sounds simple. But I just wanted to mention that as you get going with this.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Like, I think that's probably my number one question coming to this group is knowing that it is a task force, like, and that I, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think we can like set up in, well, I could be wrong, but maybe an IP protected work stream around this, to kind of collaborate on the vocab layer. We think that because we're not, you know, like reinventing or rehashing like a lot of the existing standards layer, in other words, like the core VC stuff and the proof format, like the security layer, and we're just focusing on semantics, right? Like this whole thing is focusing on the semantic layer. We're hoping that it's easier to work on than potentially some of this other stuff, which, so I don't know where the line is exactly. In other words, in terms of like what we could work potentially, like at the VCEDU on, like set up a kind of work stream for those interested in collaborate on like what would be the boundaries of that thing. Or is it just that any work of any substance would have to have a different home? I don't know. These are questions.
Yeah, those are things that would have to be thought through, and maybe
yeah.
this is the call to do it. We could talk about it in the future if you'd like. And I see Deb and Phil Barker at Credential Engine queued up, and
mm-hmm.
they've been working a lot on properties for credentials. So I'm just going to leave it to them for a little while. But Thank you for being here today, Nader. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm very keen to hear from the others.
Yeah, let's hear from Deb.
Thanks. And thank you, Nader. This is really useful. I just wanted to double what Carrie just said about thank goodness for JSON LD.
Yeah.
Because the linked data lets you connect to additional complexity as much or as little as you need. You know, I often say that the CTDL is usefully complex with over 900 terms in that linked data structure, and no one's going to use all of it. So if you have a very simple representation of a micro-credential, you're not likely to have very good transparency because there are so many different interpretations of what micro-credentials represent and include. So to be able to have references to linked data that illuminates as much of that as is useful to meet the use cases is, I think, a really elegant solution.
Thank you. Yeah, no, I definitely agree. This idea of, like, the additional complexity is there if you need it or want to use it, we think is absolutely the approach. I guess the question I would have for you is sort of like, what is the simplest thing that we can all agree on, essentially, right? Because even in that world, there's sort of almost needs to be like some line that we can draw and say, below this line, we all agree, right? Like, we are all using the same thing. Because if we're building fundamentally on different kind of starting points, it's very hard to, like Carrie mentioned earlier, you need like a translation or like a mapping layer that's separate, like that is actually very non-trivial to build, right? Like, very, very difficult. So I think potentially it seems like a big win would be like, what is the simplest possible thing we can all agree on? And maybe it's like something that is four fields, right? Like something that is exceeding.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is.
I would say it's actually even simpler than that. I mean, what we're advocating for is that the digital credential of EC or OB has a CTID that uses linked data to link to CTDL.
Yeah.
It doesn't need to be in our registry. It can be CTDL that's anywhere. And then that link data, you know, people can follow that link and learn more about it, but also systems can follow that link to pull the data that they need. And if the data they need isn't there, then it's failed the use case, but it has added no additional complexity to the digital credential other than adding the link to the link data. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, that does make sense.
All right, thank you. Phil Barker is also on the queue.
Yeah.
Hello. Thank you. And I love that presentation. I especially loved the description of the complexity of the ecosystem that we work in with education.
Yeah.
And I think you're spot on with your solution of, if you like, separating the vocabulary of terms that we use from the data structures that we use for system-to-system interoperability.
Yeah.
And very interesting that you're working with PESC, using PESC. What I wanted to say, and you may already know this, but also for the benefit of everybody else on the call, is that PESC at the moment have a JSON-LD transcript working group.
Mm-hmm.
And we're on that. I'm on that, and we are looking at how to define the XML PESC standard terms as terms that can be used for JSON-LD. And it's looking like that's going to be done in a way that is compatible with verifiable credentials. So I very much hope that the approach that you've taken and the direction that PESC goes is one that will allow you to standardize the vocabulary terms that you use through PESC.
Yeah, I think we're very keen to stay very close and connected to PESC throughout this process, and kind of any insights that we're and kind of progress that we're able to make with this crowd to kind of bring back to PESC. I think as well, like the as mentioned, you know, I'm from Matter, and we were working with Digitary on this project, and I believe, Simone, correct me if I'm wrong, that there are Digitary members on that JSON-LD working group at PESC. I could be wrong on that, but I believe that's the case. So there is a connection point there, and like very much like we want this to be one thing and not to be two separate things, right?
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Wait, almost at the top of the hour. I wonder if there are other questions. Otherwise, I have a couple of comments, things that I wanted to highlight. So first thing is, MyCreds is actually a production environment that runs at scale in Canada across currently around 60 post-secondary institutions, with the aim of getting to all the 274. So this is a pilot project of a production environment that promises the possibility of doing verifiable credentials in education at scale. So that is important. The other piece that I wanted to highlight is that while, you know, the way that this platform is structured and the collaboration between Digitary and Matter, who are the two technical implementers of the full solution, is that credentials are issued as, you know, digitally signed PDFs. They end up into a user account or a learner web wallet. And then learners have the agency and the optionality to download to a wallet, in this case, the Matter wallet. And it is then that Digitary passes on to Matter the data, those data elements that we've been talking about, we've been referring to, and Matter wraps them into a VC and push them into a wallet. The reason why we started with PESC, so this implementation is informed by the PESC standard because PESC transcripts are used at scale in both the US and Canada, particularly in Canada. So that felt there was a good place to start, and I guess Matter is here saying, as I understand it right, that they want to contribute back the implementation, I mean, the outcome of this implementation and solicit a more widespread collaboration around agreeing semantically on what are those data elements or vocabs. And this is very much in line with the focus that we've given the task force for this year, which is to just go down a level into more semantic land. Yeah. This is where Credential Engine has, for example, a lot to offer in North America, but similarly in Europe, it's a European learning model. So, you know, while it's true that we are a task force and we don't set the data model of the verifiable credentials, we do have a role of informing specifically around the education domain. So thank you very much.
Awesome. Thank you for having me. And invite me in to speak, and we'll share this deck kind of after the fact, and very keen to, I don't know, we'll figure out a way to kind of gauge interest in this, right? People who want to work on this kind of thing and are interested in it, we'll figure it out. Maybe it's a mailing list. Maybe it's hopefully not another mailing list. Maybe we'll figure out a more elegant way to do that, kind of gauge, who's interested. And yeah, take it from there, but we're very, excited about, you know, this work, and we've been following closely what's going on in this working group as well. And, very, you know, like interested in what you guys are doing and the kinds of problems you guys are trying to tackle. Cause we think we're, you know, there's a lot of, certainly a lot of overlap there.
Sure. And I do think that with PlugFest 3, that is an opportunity to work.
Yeah.
Practically on this, or maybe use maybe a MyCreds credential as one of the credentials that could be issued. So definitely good timing. Thank you for sharing. And we have Carrie on the queue for the last question. Go ahead, Carrie.
Oh, yeah, not a question. I'll be real quick. Nader, feel free to leverage this group. I mentioned earlier that we create a special topic group for the enrollment status credential. Anyone in this community is welcome to create a special topic group. So if you'd like to do that, let's talk about that. We can help you set that up. You can use our mailing list. Like, you can lean on W3 resources to do this if you'd like. So let's talk some more about it.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Yeah, we may not be like, we're not really a standards group, but you could do the work here and then figure that out after, right? So
yeah, totally.
Okay. Thank you.
Great. And Nader, if you want to share the slides, you can write to the mailing list, and that will probably hit everyone here.
Okay, perfect. Okay. Will do.
I can help with that too. Okay, thanks a lot. That wraps it up for today. Enjoy the rest of the week, and we'll see you soon. Bye.
Bye-bye.